Strange Adventure.
Lieutenant Spurt Carter considered himself just about the hottest pilot around the base, and even the other flyers had to admit that he was. When he received the air medal for his daring testing of jet fighters, he considered it a perfect talisman and wore it under his shirt on a chain around his neck. When he had a crack-up but was able to walk away, he was really convinced of the medal's worth. At last, time for the leave came. He decided the best place to rest up was at a lake in the Canadian woods, but he intended to rough it in comfort. He took along plenty of sleeping equipment and food so he could enjoy the beauty of the wilds and the ease of civilization at the same time. Naturally, he disdained any mode of travel except flying. A travel agency made arrangements for Spurt to take an airliner as far as possible and for a bush pilot to fly him to the lake of his choice. When Spurt met Pete Wayne, the bush pilot, and saw the ancient biplane, he felt like giving up in disgust. Pete was middle-aged, leather-faced, and walked with a slight limp. The plane was a float job that couldn't make enough speed to get out of its own way. Pete noticed the pile of camp gear. Say, you expect to take all that with you?
Why, sure. Can't that flying cracker box carry it?
Oh, I guess so. But we can take only enough gas for one way. That'll be all right, though. I've got some drums of gas up there at the lake. The plane was loaded and the flight started. Spurt was glad none of the fellas back at the base could see him in this old crate. Fog started closing in while they were still over the forest. As it got thicker, Pete flew lower until the plane was barely skimming the treetops. Pete banked for a sharp turn and lit a cigar. Spurt shouted above the roar.
Say, hadn't we better turn back?
I don't dare. Don't have enough gas. We only took enough for one way. We're better than halfway there right now. The following minutes were hours to Spurt Carter. The trees seemed to reach up for the plane's pontoons. He'd have given anything to be safe now in a hot new jet job. Suddenly, his heart skipped. The tone of the motor changed. They must be out of gas. Pete was idling the motor. Spurt braced himself for the crash. The nose of the plane dipped. It darted between the tall trees, but no branches reached out to snare it. Then the plane was floating easily on the fog-bound lake. Pete taxied to shore and cut the motor. Spurt at last found his tongue.
Pete, do me a favor, will you?
Sure.
Tell me, how did you do it?
Oh, it's simple. When the fog closed in, I just skimmed along over the river. I could follow it because of the opening it made in the trees. At that big turn back there, I lit the cigar. When it had burned down an inch, I knew we were at the lake, so I set her down and, well, here we are.
Spurt unbuttoned his shirt and removed the air medal. Without a word, he hung the chain around Pete's neck.
This is Pat McGinn in Hollywood, California, saying goodbye from my writer, Charles Crowder, and inviting you to listen to The Viper's Fang, our next tale of
Strange Adventure.